The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Lilias Folin, the First Lady of Yoga, about yoga and its healing powers. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based, practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion, focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news, we have some fascinating information about bacteria, of all things, that I really wanted to share with our listeners tonight. And it's about the genetic map of the body's microbes. This was a study funded by the National Institutes of Health, so a pretty weighty organization. And it turns out that researchers have actually produced the very first comprehensive genetic map of bacteria, bacteria that live on us and in us. There was a study in 242 healthy volunteers, and they found out that, amazingly, even though there are only a mere 22,000 human genes, there are actually 8 million bacterial genes. Who wins? Genetic human cells or bacterial cells? And they live in or on the body, and they've identified more than 10,000 species of bacteria. Isn't that just amazing? This new genetic map should really bolster research in a number of disease areas for future research. But we have to, you know, nature and nurture provide more information about how bodies react in their environment as well as with their environment to understand how the unique composition of that interaction affects us each differently. This might have implications for Crohn's, for diabetes, for eczema, and a lot of other diseases, hopefully in a more preventative role. So again, the genetics of bacteria, fascinating information. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Lilias Folin is a very dear friend and someone who has the wisdom of the ages, the First Lady of Yoga, will always be our First Lady from, gosh, all of our television days on CET still. An amazing journey, and it's our privilege and pleasure to welcome Lilias to Your Holistic Health.
Thank you, Kathy, so much. It's so nice to be here. Hello, everybody.
Well, Lilias, how did you first get involved with yoga years ago when you were a young mom? And how did you decide to go about the business of helping us all grow and to teach others in such a very public domain?
Well, I was living in Stamford, Connecticut, and just watching black and white television, kind of my children were really, really young. In fact, I can remember nursing them in front of this television show with Richard Hittleman, who was the yoga teacher, and I would put baby down and do some postures, and he'd have two lovely ladies behind him bending and stretching, and that was really my first introduction to yoga on television. And then I kind of went to my family doctor out in Stamford, Connecticut, because I had a litany of problems, like I wasn't sleeping well, and I'm a young mom, not much energy. I was pretty good athlete in my younger years, but really hadn't done anything since I'd had children. And I had this sort of vague discontent about me that was very hard to talk to the doctor about. And he gave me a complete set of tests, and he said, "Madam, there's nothing wrong with you. You're suffering a case of the blahs. Get involved in an exercise program." And I thought, So I went to the Stanford YWCA and got myself into a yoga class. And I must say that the first 4 weeks, I began to feel better, more energy. In about 8 weeks, sleeping better. And in about 3 months, the smoking that I was doing gave me up. I didn't give up. It gave me up. And as chance would have it, the woman that was teaching had to leave and go. And so they asked me to start teaching, and I had no experience, no nothing. No teacher training was there in the early 70s, late 60s. So I just asked a friend, and the friend's advice to me for being scared and all, he said, "In the kingdom of the blind, Lilias, the one-eyed is king." So I began to teach yoga in Stamford, Connecticut, and just loved it. And there it kind of began. My husband then moved to Cincinnati, Ohio, and I took my teaching skills with me. And in one of those classes was a lovely lady named Merle Gurian, wife of Leonard Gurian, who used to help produce Paul Dixon and Bob Braun and all that year, all those years. And she said that I have the perfect lady to do a television show on yoga. And so I went up to WCET and sort of did an audition, scared to death, never had done anything in front of a camera before. And but they liked it.
I remember you. You know, I first of all, what a fortuitous decision that you chose and were led to yoga.
Yeah.
Your entire life changed in that moment, Lilias. And I also want our listeners to remember that incredibly gorgeous long black hair that you braided and went to the ground. I vividly remember and used to watch you on television. And now it is my honor and privilege to be your friend and to have gotten to know you and the wisdom that you emanate every time we're together. I'm sure we'll come across to our listeners tonight.
Well, I think we were very blessed at the time that I lived in New York and also in Cincinnati. A lot of the great Indian teachers, gurus, swamis, were coming from India to New York. And the Beatles we have to thank for some of that, because they brought Mahesh Yogi, and Mahesh Yogi spoke at the UN. And he was a great, he was their teacher. And the Beatles just fell in love with the music of India, the words, the spirit of it. And there was Woodstock going on at that time. If you can remember that great picture of how wild that was, and Swami Satchidananda sitting there presiding over it all. But that was India coming to the United States, and that sort of happened, like has been happening, well, 50 years ago. And then some of those teachers came here to Cincinnati as well.
That's an amazing gift for all of us. Mm-hmm. Once again, you and Paul. You and Paul.
Paul. Me and Bob?
No, you and Paul McCartney.
Me and Paul McCartney. Oh, don't I wish.
Yep. All right, what is yoga? And give us some examples of just a few of the types,
well,
please.
Well, I think it's really important to make note that yoga has long been associated with the Hindu religious traditions. And it's true that it has emerged from India as a set of practices with a spiritual content. But it is not married to any particular religion tradition. Yoga means to join, unification of two things. And for some people, it's to joining the hands, the fingertips to the toes in a forward bend. But others, it means to join with the human heart and the human heart of the divine, the light within. Either and both are correct. It's a process. And if you're going to touch your feet or touch the divine within, there must be movement, and that movement is yoga. And it's the physical, the mental, the spiritual benefits of yoga are very well documented. Hatha yoga is practiced in the Buddhist communities, Christian monasteries, and convents all over the world, as well as Dr. Dean Ornish's hospital program for reversing of heart disease. And yoga emphasizes the doing and the practice, and it can be adapted to fit every body, no matter what size, shape, age, or physical condition, all are welcome. Important to notice that it's a science and study of the self and not a religion. There's a lot of misunderstanding about that.
Well, I have here some information on the world's oldest yoga teacher. Her name is Tao Porshan Lynch, 94. Would you happen to know her?
Do you know, I met her just this past year. I met her at a Yoga Journal conference in New York City, and we passed like ships in the night, and unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to get her to stand up and give her a standing O, but I knew there was great awe and respect for this yoga teacher at 94. And does people look at me and they go, "You're still teaching yoga?" Well, of course, it's something that in my 70s that I can teach with ease, and I don't recommend all the postures that I did in my mid-age by any shape or form, but it's just a little different teaching mid-age yoga.
Well, I'll tell you what, she, as you are, is just absolutely amazing. And it sounds like she can support her entire body on one wrist. That's her, now her Guinness World Record pose, I guess, or posture. But now before we go to break, I want to know what your favorite posture is, your favorite yoga posture.
I think my favorite yoga posture is relaxation pose. And possibly half candle. That means inverting yourself. I've got two or three, but I love relaxation pose. We'll tell you more about that one later.
All right. Well, I think that you've taught me about the witness self, and I want to, after we come back from break, talk more about how yoga presents that opportunity to look at oneself and to clear one's mind. Maybe a little bit different than the concept of meditation, and that might be somewhat confusing for some of our listeners. So let's do that when we come back.
Good.
Your holistic health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back. And you're listening to a live broadcast of Your Holistic Health on faithandfriendsradio.com. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking about the First Lady of Yoga, about yoga with the First Lady of Yoga, Lilias Folin.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi again, Lilias. All right, dear, let's talk about that witness self and how distinctive that particular notion is to yoga and how complete it is, really, in the concept of finding peace.
Well, it has meant a great deal to me personally because I've noticed in myself I have a great big critic that lives and has lived inside Lilias for many years, and perhaps our listeners could relate to this. You know, that inner chatter, the inner critic that. And when I began to read more about what we needed for the journey, and wrote this book, Lilias. ! Your guide to enhancing body, mind, and spirit. I had to describe what I was going to put into my into my suitcase. And the first and most important item I'm putting into the suitcase is my witness self. It's a beautiful name in Sanskrit called Sakshin. The mystics of the past encouraged us to close the outer eyes so that the inner eye can open. And I have a sense it's probably a part of the brain that observes. And it has many, many qualities, and I'll just be very brief. Your witness self judges not. There's absolutely nothing on your witness cannot see, no shame, no shadow, no embarrassment, no fear. experiencing your witness is not an exercise in thinking. To the contrary, we're allowing the whole body to feel the vibrations, the sensations that filter through our energy body. The witness is, in essence, a part of who we are. It never sleeps. And contemporary Western psychologists, like yogis, believe that if there is a seer, if the seer inside of us is insufficiently developed, we will suffer and become over-identified with thoughts and feelings. Without the still point of the witness, we feel fragmented and fragile. And that is a quote from Stephen Cope, who's an author, psychologist, and a master yoga teacher. So I've incorporated the observer witness self. It's just like you and I. We have a phone. You have a microphone. Our friends who are listening, you're seated in a chair. Can you feel the chair behind your back? Can you feel where you're sitting on it? Just observe it. And so you start with feelings and sensations. Oh, and that's the beginning of awarenesses and developing an observer self.
What I really love about that explanation is what you said in the beginning about non-judgmental observation. Mm-hmm. Wow, there's a concept for you, huh? I mean, we're always judging. We're judging ourselves by the second.
Yes,
most of us are.
It's a practice. It's a practice, and when we are in relaxation practice, this is why yoga is so interesting, or when you're in yoga postures, you are observing how the muscles feel, how the bones feel, how your breath is, what's going on in the breath. So it begins to train you to observe. And then in relaxation, the feeling of relaxation, because relaxation actually is a feeling, and the fact that, yes, I can quiet my thinking, and having thoughts are perfectly natural when we're relaxing or driving in a car, but I don't have to be at the beck and call of them. I can just let them float by the river, and there I am, still driving, still in my body, but I don't have to respond to every thought that's in my little brain.
Mm. What I like, again, another observation, is that there is a connection. I'm learning more and more as I grow in my journey between the emotions and the spirit, and they seem to flow toward one another on both sides of the spectrum, emotions to spirit and spirit to emotions. And maybe the emotions are, that peace, the physical manifestation of sort of everything lining up when you're able to simply empty the noise, as you put it earlier. And that's wisdom to me, and the wisdom of the ages. Interestingly, in Proverbs 24:14, we hear, "Know that wisdom is sweet to your soul, and if you find it, there is hope, and it will not be cut off." Amazing to me that over generations, over thousands of years, and over many different religions, if you will, there is a higher power that shares with us that growth continually goes toward our spiritual selves. And the joy is in the emotion, and hopefully that emotion becomes very exuberant in a very positive way.
Yes. Now, when you're talking about emotions, are you talking about feelings?
Well, in a way, I guess. But the absence of stress. Let's go there. How about that? The absence of stress emotionally. Can you speak to that?
The absence of stress is such a practice. Is stress feels like something, like relaxation feels like something. And to practice relaxation, as we do in every yoga class at the end of class, has helped me to identify stress when my shoulders are up under my ears, when the breath is shallow, and catching myself with a very simple breath of slowing the exhalation down and visualizing it leaving your toes. But it's the clenching of the jaw. I mean, as you all are listening, go inside your mouth for a moment and slide your tongue behind your front upper teeth And that helps to relax the jaw muscle. I find myself clenching the jaw whether I'm listening on the telephone or listening to the awfulness of the news. And finding that stress feels like something, it's connected to the breath and breathing. And there are lots of wonderful little tips, like an Ujjayi, it's kind of called a victory breath, of slowing your exhale down. And what that is just closing the glottis just slightly, so you make a little sound of the wave, and just follow your exhalation. If you can maybe hear that, it's just closing the glottis slightly, and that this slows our exhalation down, and then another wave of the inhalation comes in. But even yoga teachers can get stressed out and didn't know it or don't know it. I had to be told last year by my docs, Lilius, slow down.
And did you mind?
33 years old.
Did you obey?
I did. I absolutely obeyed and canceled quite a few of my travels, and have kind of come back now, and I only do a certain amount. And I do a lot of teaching here in the city, which makes it really fun and interesting. I teach at Yoga Home Studios, and they're in Marymount and in Sims. And I really love it. And if anybody wanted to know more about it, they have a wonderful website. It's yogahome.net. And I'll be starting classes right now, and find a class that's good for you, especially if you're a beginner. That's how you know. Pick a beginner class. Pick an introduction class, and stay well away from hot yoga, not for a while.
Well, I hope to be one of your students pretty soon, so get ready.
Good. I hope so, get too. Ready. We have been talking about that
yes,
a while.
We have. I better stop talking and start acting.
Now, listen, I'll tell you something, though, too, is that Time Warner Cable, my series is on, if you get Time Warner Cable, the series is on CET Create, and that's 988 on your Warner Cable, Time Warner Cable. And it's on at 6:30 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening. So you can study with Lilius and tape it if you don't want to get up at 6:30. But there it is for free.
You're everywhere. You're ubiquitous. All right, dear. What's the most important growth spurt in yoga over maybe, I don't know, the past 10 to 20 years? And where's yoga moving in the future?
I think there are more yoga classes, very inventive classes like hot yoga and the use of props. In other words, the modernization of what was done in India now has really been modernized. And being used, I think, for example, in yoga therapy that just recently published in the International Medical Magazine, it's 60% of people who with back problems, with lower back pain, 60% who practice yoga 75 minutes weekly reported less back pain after 3 months. So a lot of yoga therapy, yoga and breast cancer, Alzheimer's, there's some wonderful research being done, and I'd love to introduce people to that website, which is IAYT. It's the three W's, .IAYT.org, and it's the International Association of Yoga Therapists. So there's, just bringing it into hospitals, bringing it into, different diseasinesses of the body, the mind, and the spirit.
Do you want to talk about laughter yoga just a bit?
Oh,
I think that's amazing.
I think it's such. I hope one point in my class where I introduce everybody to your laugh muscle. So if you're listening, and if you're in the production booth, put your hand in your belly. That's where your navel is. Just put your thumb in your belly, and you just kind of go ha 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 ha. And then feel the muscle. That's a real laugh muscle. And once you get going, you can make it very genuine. And I think it's so healthy to but, to smile is something that the ancients knew, that it was a high grade of energy, and the Chinese masters regarded it such a high grade of energy that they kept it secret, that the genuine smile originates in your spiritual heart. And so it's a high-grade healing energy that's when you smile and go through the relaxation, smiling through all your internal organs, is transmitted to your internal organs, glands, bone marrow, nervous system. And it's equally important that it be transmitted to other people, because you know when someone's needs a little extra something and you give them a genuine smile, you know how good it feels and how good it feels to receive it. A lot of research has been done on the human smile.
I agree, and it's contagious, and so are you.
Well,
how about
Kathy,
that?
Thank you. I do have I do have products and stuff like that. If people want to look at my website, it's Lilius at liliusyoga.com, and that's Lilius with one L in the middle. And I do have that inner smile on a CD and lots of other things, and a really nice book.
And you have been prolific as an author, and you have now 3 or 4 books?
I have 3 books, and I'm going to be doing a workshop in Yellow Springs, Ohio, in November the 10th. So that's a day long. It's really, really fun, and people come up the night before, and just take a look. If you're interested in this kind of thing, do take a look at my website.
Well, Lilius, we're just about out of time. I would love it if you would leave us with a take-home message for our dear listeners about your favorite thought regarding yoga over the years, or just a message of love.
Oh, dear heart, I don't have anything that's sitting here right in front of me except my favorite, if I have a minute, from my favorite yogi. Oh, Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in the giving that we receive, it is in the pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in the dying that we are born to eternal life. Thank you, dear Yogi St. Francis.
And thank you, dear Lilius, and namaste.
Namaste.
It's time to wrap up our show, and we're going to do that with the quote of the week, and it happens to be a blessing from Lilius Folan. And I quote, "May the one who blesses blossoms with beauty bless you. May the one who blesses gems with clarity bless you. May the one who blesses honey with sweetness bless you. May the one who blesses oceans with depths bless you. May the one who blesses infants with innocence bless you. And may the one who blesses angels with wings bless you and bless us all." And again, namaste to all of our listeners.
Namaste.
Thanks to our guest, Lilius Folan, the First Lady of Yoga Forever, for being with us tonight. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. You are invited to my website online at rxintegrativesolutions.com for a free library of health-related articles I've written just for you. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Julie Van Arsdale of the Spice and Tea Connection in Cincinnati. And she's going to be talking about healing teas on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. Please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m., on Faith and Friends Radio for Your Holistic Health.